堂听 class.com。
Acting with an accent. Stage dialect instruction by David A. Stern. Instructional tape number 5, The Irish Brogue. Lesson 1, creating the resonance and quality of the Irish dialect. Before we actually examine the pronunciation changes, the specific vowel and consonant substitutions between the standard American and Irish speech, we're going to look at changes that take place in the overall quality of the voice. The kinds of sound changes that we can readily attribute to a general alteration in the shape and or configuration of the vocal tract. And, in the case of Irish speech, changes in the actual quality of phonation by the vocal folds. Now, this is a change that takes place not only on a limited number of sounds of clearly defined phoneme or pronunciation changes, but throughout the vocal production entirely by the Irish speaker. Now, in my approach to dialect instruction, we try to find a specific point, if you like, an imaginary point in or around the oral cavity, which represents the focal point for the vibration of the sound. Now, this point, where most of the energy seems to be concentrated, is the one that we use and we focus on for the resonance of the speech. Now, in the standard American dialect, which I'm speaking now, the imaginary point of focus that I use for my own perception of the sound is approximately in the middle of the mouth, halfway between the tongue and soft palate, or tongue and hard palate, and about halfway back in the cavity. Now, if you're to open your mouth a fair degree and press one finger of each hand into your cheeks, the point where those cheeks would meet, if they were flexible enough to do that, is that central point of focus that I use for the American dialect. With the Irish dialect, however, the point of focus that I use is moved extremely far forward. So far forward, in fact, that to my way of thinking about it, the best imaginary point of resonance placement for this dialect is a couple of inches in front of the lips. That's right, clear outside of the mouth, in front of the lips by an inch or two. Exercise number 1 for the Irish quality. Moving the resonance forward on an airstream. Now, Irish is one of the very few accents or dialects which we deal with, which has an actual change in vocal fold behavior or a quality of initial phonation. Now, in spite of the fact that technically vocal folds do not create a resonance change, we're going to think of this change also as assimilating into this entire phenomenon of establishing a new point of focus for the resonance. Now, depending on the location in Ireland or the socioeconomic class of the Irish character you're doing, almost all Irish speech has at least some degree of breathiness or aspiration connected with it. This happens because the vocal folds are not brought completely into alignment or closure during speech. Therefore, much of Irish speech has this aspirate or whispery quality to it. Now, we're going to use this partially whispery quality as an aid for establishing the point of resonance focus in front of the mouth. First, we'll establish a degree of breathiness. Then we're going to imagine that the energy or vibration of the speech is latching itself onto that breath stream and being shot or puffed right out of the mouth to the spot that we've just talked about 2 inches in front of the lips. Now, I'm going to change the nature of my speech right now. I'm not going to be doing an Irish dialect right now. As you can hear, what I've switched to is just a basically American pattern, but with a breathy quality attached to it. Now, all I'm doing is adding that significant amount of breathiness to my speech, and you can already start to sense that there's a little bit of an Irish quality that's already coming into it. Now, let's start exploring this quality by just establishing that slight breathiness in your speech first. I want you to take the sound ah, the vowel ah, ah, and then the second time you do it, add a significant amount of breathiness or whisperiness to it. Okay, repeat it after me. Full voice, ah, and with a whisper, ah. Again, full voice, ah, whispery, ah. Now, some of you might be familiar with the term breathy onset. So do the ah now with a breathy onset of phonation. Be careful that you don't get the sense of putting an H in front of it. I don't want you to go ha, ha, but simply want you to go ah, ah, ah. I might put in a parenthetical expression here for a minute. Just a bit of a warning that sometimes in making a tape recording of Irish speech, the process of recording and amplification will pick up this aspirate quality, and in your playing it back, it might sound like there are some H's stuck in front of vowel sounds. If you do hear any of those, it's not intended that they be there. So I just thought I'd put that little disclaimer in case the tape recorder plays havoc with us here, as it has in some of the previous editions of this Irish tape. Now, let's just do it a few more times with the aspirated quality. Ah, and now, ah, and ah. Now, let's try to get that breathy sound now just by counting on numbers. We'll do three numbers at a time. First in full voice, middle of the mouth focus. One, two, three. You repeat. And now, with a little bit of a breathy quality, and if you want to imagine that point of focus in front of your mouth, one, two, three. One, two, three. And again, one, two, three. Well, now that we've gotten this breathy airstream engaged, this breathy phonation, see if you can use that breathiness as a tool to place the vibration of the voice, or your sense of the vibration of the voice, into that new imaginary point in front of the face. In addition to using the breathiness, try now to imagine that the airstream is carrying the sound forward, and that the major vibration of the voice is focusing at that point a few inches in front of your lips. You may even want to hold one of your fingers at that spot a couple of inches in front of your lips, and in a figurative sense, aim the vibration focus toward that finger that you're holding out there. Okay, counting in groups of three again. Middle finger out in front of your mouth. One, two, three. Now focus in on that point. One, two, three. Again, in the middle of the mouth. One, two, three. And one, two, three. Now, there can be more or less aspiration depending upon the type of Irish speech that you're doing. We'll talk about that a bit more later. But for now, we just want to get a great deal of aspiration so that you can get the sense, get yourself used to functioning with this airflow added to the speech. Middle of the mouth, four, five, six, and four, five, six, and seven, eight, nine, and shooting out forward, seven, eight, nine. Now, the second exercise for the Irish quality adds a physical action in the mouth to help you move the imaginary point of vibration forward to its new location. What we're going to do now is to repeat the same numbers in the same basic counting exercise. But this time, we'll actually do a couple of different movements with the lips to add this to add to this aspiration and imaginary focal point shifting. There are two different lip movements which can be done to help with this sense of placement. One of them is actually to pull the lips back against the teeth. Pull the top lip, curl it back against the top teeth, and the lower lip, curl it back against the bottom teeth. And now as you count 1, 2, 3, you can not only imagine that the sound is shooting out front with the aspiration, but you can also imagine that the sound is establishing itself out there in front of the mouth, because figuratively you're pulling your lips or pulling your mouth back away from the sound. The breath shoots out front and the sound pulls away, the mouth pulls away from the sound as the lips pull back against the teeth. Okay, using that lip pull back in addition to the aspiration and imagining the point of focus, middle of the mouth, 1, 2, 3. Pulling back and shooting forward. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6. 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9. 7, 8, 9. Now, I'm going to keep my lips back there in that position right now. And you get a very nice sense of the Irish resonance, that's true, with this manipulation of the aural cavity combined with the shooting forward of the sound. But as I continue speaking with my lips pulled back, I'm sure you can already hear how this pulling back of my lips is beginning to interfere a bit with the intelligibility of the speech. I'm not able to articulate very clearly at all. Also, this degree of lip pullback is beginning to generate a very stereotypic Barry Fitzgerald type of sound. And although this configuration is creating a generally accurate vocal quality, we're close to falling into two of the traps, violating two of those axioms of stage dialect work that I talk about in the introduction to the manual. Number one, interfering with the audience intelligibility. And number two, playing a dialect stereotype too heavily rather than playing the sense of what you're doing and the sounds. Well, it's still going to be a good idea to keep that we've begun with this exercise, because now that you've experienced that pullback of the lips and gotten that basic sense of what the Irish resonance sounds like, you know what it is you're trying to keep as we make another adjustment. Now, you'll find that many Irishmen, especially in Dublin, do speak with these lips pulled back, but the adjustment that I'm going to have you do now is one that is much preferable for the stage. The technique we'll use is actually to reverse the direction in which you're moving your lips. Instead of pulling them back against the teeth and figuratively pulling your mouth back away from the vibratory focus, I'll ask you now to easily and slowly, fluidly, glide your lips forward. Create a sort of tunnel or barrel effect with your lips. Now, as you stretch your lips forward into this tunnel, think of it as, sort of the barrel of a gun down which the sound or vibration is going to be shot. Now, to keep this nice cylinder, you have to make sure that you don't open your mouth too wide. Allow the stretching forward of the lips to generate most of the functional cavity. And as the jaw moves, you never establish too terribly wide an opening of the mouth. You keep that narrow gun barrel, and down that barrel you shoot the focus of the vocal vibration. So try now to keep the same basic voice quality that you had when you were pulling your lips back. Stretch the lips forward, shoot the sound down the tunnel, and repeat the exercises once again. Keep the aspirate quality, shoot the sound down to that focal point in front of the lips. Hold your finger up there again if it'll help. Middle of the mouth. 1, 2, 3. Tunneling forward and shooting the sound forward on the quality. 1, 2, 3. Middle again. 4, 5, 6. 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9. 7, 8, 9. And just a couple of letters of the alphabet. A, B, C, D. A, B, C, D. Now, this second way of creating the resonance has the advantage of avoiding stereotyping a bit more, of giving you much more freedom to use the lips and tongue for clear stage articulation. And as an added bonus, the stretching forward will tend to lessen the chance of putting too much pressure and abusing the vocal folds by focusing the sound more forward in your mouth. Let's just try one brief sentence, not worrying too much about pronunciation changes, just focusing the sound forward. middle of the mouth. Father closed the window and looked over the treetops. And shooting the sound forward, Father closed the window and looked over the treetops. And again, I wasn't really trying to do dialect pronunciations there, just the basic Irish resonance. Now that basically establishes the sense of shooting the quality of resonance forward on the aspirate voice quality and focusing in front of the lips. Before we move into specific sound changes, I want to make a very quick comment here. Many dialect writers, or people who write about dialects, refer to a phenomenon in Irish dialect of flipping the resonance back and forth and back and forth from the front of the mouth to the back of the mouth and going from falsetto to full voice and falsetto to full voice. Well, this impression is generated in some very stereotypic Irish speech. However, I'm going to deal only briefly with that phenomenon, and I'm going to talk about it later in the tape, not in in the lesson on quality here, but in the lesson later on the pitch variations in the Irish dialect. But for now, that's the end of the lesson on creating the resonance and vocal quality of the Irish dialect. Lesson number two. Vowel substitutions related to the quality of Irish speech. We're now going to look at several changes in vowels between Standard American and Southern Irish speech, which grow out of or work best when heavily integrated into the quality and resonance we've just been working with. Now, in much of Irish speech, the vowel ah is very dominant. And there are several situations in which that vowel comes in and substitutes for other vowels. Now, in some of these substitutions that we're going to look at, this ah substitution is very, very clear and very dominant. In certain parts of Ireland, in very stereotypic speech, it can be very dominant. Other times, the original vowel doesn't change very much at all, and it just migrates slightly toward the ah, this low front ah sound, and is really integrated more into the resonance and doesn't even sound like much of a pronunciation change. Now, the first of these is the original sound ah, as in father, which is a back vowel in American speech, and which really simply doesn't change pronunciation at all, just migrates forward and gets shot out on the resonance and becomes the ah of the Irish speech. Well, let's look at a few words and a quick sentence and get yourself integrating this into the resonance. I'll say the word in Standard American, you repeat it. I'll do the Irish pronunciation and you repeat that. Word list, A. Arc, arc. Calm, calm. Stop, stop. Yard, yard. Option, option. Army, army. And a sentence, B. Father Charles argued for the honor of God. Father Charles argued for the honor of God. Now that one's very simple. We're not going to spend very much time with it here. The second of these vowels that's very heavily influenced by the Irish resonance and which migrates a bit toward the ah is the ah vowel in American. Hat, cat, man. Now, in America, we often extend and nasalize this vowel to ear, man, can. Now, this won't happen at all in the Irish speech. Most of the time, the Irish will simply soften it as the vowel integrates into the aspirate quality. Trap, man, castle. But at times it will become trap, man, castle. And there's sometimes not very much rhyme nor reason as to when it will shift out of the way and when it will just soften up slightly. Linguists have tried to find a pattern, but they can't find a really good rule like they can in Standard British, where you know when it's going to be can and when it's going to be can't. In Irish, you just sort of soften this vowel up with the resonance, and whichever one comes out, comes out. So let's again do a word list on this. A, man, man. Basket, basket. Castle, castle. Answer, answer. And a couple of sentences. be. The soprano laughed as the glass shattered. The soprano laughed as the glass shattered. C. The passengers and the baggage were trapped aft of the alcove. The passengers and baggage were trapped aft of the alcove. Or if you carried it to its extreme, were trapped aft of the alcove. Now, the next two of these vowel changes that tend to migrate toward the A are closely related. Both involve the A vowel. One is the simple A, the other is the OI diphthong. The first one, A, is in caught or brought. I must say that this substitution is not absolutely essential. There are some people with very, very thick Irish dialects who don't make this substitution. And many American actors don't do it, even though they're doing a fairly authentic Irish sound. In recent research, I've found a very, very small percentage of Irish speakers really use this to any extent, even in O'Casey, Dubliner type of characters. But you will find it. It is an authentic Irish sound, so, and it doesn't really distract too much from intelligibility, so let's practice it just briefly with some sentences, with some words and a quick sentence. Word list. Off, off. Awful, awful. Sauce, sauce. And the next few words, instead of going all the way to the ah, let's just soften it a bit. Hawk, hawk. Morning, morning. Author, author. And just one sentence. The cat crawled across the lawn after it pawed the thorn. The cat crawled across the lawn after it pawed the thorn. Now, the third substitution, which, as I said before, also involves the O vowel, this time in the diphthongal form, OI. Now, if the O by itself migrates toward A, then it's logical that the OI will tend to become I, as it does. In fact, this one tends to happen with a great deal more frequency than the last one does. So, we'll practice this one in a couple of more sentences. First with the word list, however. Loin,
line.
Don't forget the resonance. Moisture,
moisture.
You can almost think of this whole vowel change as being shot forward and created by the resonance. Point,
pint.
Coiled,
coiled.
Sentence B. In his toil, he hoisted the soybeans from the soil.
In his toil, he hoisted the soybeans from the soil.
C. The boisterous boy oiled the toy.
The boisterous boy oiled the toy.
D. Annoyed at her coy loitering, he foiled her exploits.
Annoyed at her coy loitering, he foiled her exploits.
And again, it doesn't have to go all the way. It could be
coy loitering foiled exploits,
and you have the resonance working just as well. Now, as I said earlier, these changes that we've looked at are sometimes strong enough to be thought of as specific pronunciation changes, but except in the very thickest of Irish speech, usually Dublin speech, they can be thought of usually as just the minor vowel changes generating out of the resonance that we've worked on in the last lesson. Now, the vowel pronunciation changes which follow are a bit more specific and more clearly recognisable vowel changes. Now, the sound a, as in oven or love, changes to an o, as in oven or love. Now, this change is not totally universal in Ireland. There are places where this vowel simply softens with the resonance to the love or oven to the same kind of vowel that we were just working with in the last four. But since so much of Irish drama, especially that of Sing and O'Casey, is set in regions or classes which do incorporate this change, we'll practice it here on the tape. Don't forget to integrate this change in with the voice quality and the resonance that we've been working on. Word list A. Blood, blood. Governor, governor. Puddle, poodle. Other, other. Hunt, hunt. Sentences B. The stuntman stumbles and tumbles in the mud. The stuntman stumbles and tumbles in the mud. A mother's love is above that of another brother. A mother's love is above that of another brother. The puppy hunted the slumbering dove. The puppy hunted the slumbering dove. Now, next we have to work with the diphthong I, which in most all forms of Irish speech rounds curiously into the sound oi, oi, oi. So mile will become moil, moil. Now be careful with this one. This does not become an oi. The sound is not moil, moil, where the lips round fully and tightly into a fully rounded oi diphthong. Much of the action created with this strange rounding comes from the tongue. What I'd suggest is that you generate this sound first with the original resonance structure that we took, with the lips pulled way back, and that'll help you get this sound. Generate it first with lips pulled back, moil, moil. Now try to get the pronunciation similar to that with the lips stretched forward loosely in the second structure, moil, moil. Really use the tongue actively on this one. All right, here we go. Words. Find. Find. Likely. Likely. Lifetime. Lifetime. Dry. Dry. Fight. Fight. Sentences B. The actor recited ironic rhymes of an ionic kind. The actor recited ironic rhymes of an ionic kind. C. Blind justice presided over the indictment. Blind justice presided over the indictment. And D. A life of violent crime has become a depressing sign of the times.
A life of violent crime has become a depressing sign of the times.
Now, the very last of these resonance-related vowel changes is quite similar to the one we just did. The sound ow, as in house, changes to another strangely rounded sound, o, as in house, house. Now, again, this is not quite a fully rounded oo. It's not hoose, hoose, like you would have in the Scottish. But it's still clearly diphthong or triphthong sound with almost an o in it. Again, try it first pulling your lips back. Hoss, hoss, moss, moss. Then stretch the lips lightly forward and shoot through the tunnel and see if you can get basically the same sound with hoss and moss. All right, word list. A. Mouse, mouse. Vow, vow. Trounce, trounce. Abound, abound. Sentences. B. The clouds shower doused the cow.
The clouds shower doused the cow.
C. I found that I had gained about a pound.
I found that I had gained about a pound.
And finally, D. The bound man counted the hours and vowed to find a way out. The bound man counted the hours and vowed to find a way out. Once again, as you go back and listen to these a few times, you want to make sure that you're generating these sounds out of the resonance, out of that aspirated quality that we worked on in the first lesson. And also realise that there are indeed different levels of intensity at which these vowels migrate toward their target, depending upon the level of intensity in the dialect. We'll talk a bit more about dialect intensity and stereotyping later in the tape, but as for now, this is the end of lesson two on the vowel changes which integrate into the Irish vocal quality.